The two successor states of Czechoslovakia find themselves in a period of recalibration, with Andrej Babiš on the verge of being appointed as prime minister in Prague and Robert Fico reasserting his influence in Bratislava. Questions abound over how these two nations will manage their ties amid what were differing approaches to the Russia-Ukraine war, EU politics, and regional cooperation. I spoke with political scientist Jan Kovač to find out more. Let's start with this basic Czech-Slovak relations in recent months. They've deferred really on foreign policy and specifically this Russia angle, which is probably the biggest hindrance between the two of late. There's also this kind of rule of law difference. Fiala was criticizing that, but that's less in the spotlight, really. It's primarily this different Russia stance that we tend to focus on. So would you expect anything to change here under Babiš? Do you think there's any ripples between them in the years to come?
To begin with, I guess that, you know, the day-to-day Czech-Slovak ties there and are resilient, you know, people, businesses, culture, and so on. And it was, you know, really government-to-government track that has been, you know, chopped because of Ukraine. And as a result of the change of government or the forthcoming and probable change towards Babiš-led government in Czechia, I think that what I would expect is, you know, more pragmatic towards Bratislava, or, you know, more pragmatic relationship between Prague and Bratislava or Czechia and Slovakia. Likely a restart of the, structured governmental talks, you know, so a general kind of improvement, at least in terms of signaling, perhaps a little bit also in substance. But I do think that the core differences won't vanish, you know, overnight, especially about, you know, Russia, Ukraine, or Ukraine. So there, as I said, I would see, you know, I would imagine that there's going to be a rapprochement, you know, of Prague towards Bratislava. But this doesn't mean it's going to be, you know, complete overhaul, and that we're going to be on the same page when it comes to foreign policy, and especially foreign policy towards, you know, the Russian aggression or war against Ukraine. So this is, you know, what I would, in other words, it's going to be warmer, atmospherics, you know, some procedural changes, but continued kind of policy divergence on Russia, Ukraine. That will, however, be a little smaller, yeah, the divergence than before. But Andrej Babiš will still have to balance these, you know, international commitments and also domestic politics. And, you know, the population here and the voters of Andrej Babiš are not all of them, certainly, against helping Ukraine or taking a mild stance towards Russia. While in Slovakia, this is a slightly different, I would say the shares of populations are slightly different in terms of, you know, even if you look at public opinion polls, you know, in Slovakia, there is the highest number of people claiming that it's the fault of Ukraine. The war, Russia waging war against Ukraine is the fault of Ukraine. So Andrej Babiš will still have to balance this, and a lot of his voters are actually not pro-Russian at all, and very often I would say quite to the contrary.
Do you think that difference will show up in the conjoining of the Patriots for Europe party in the EU Parliament? We know that famously Orbán's Fidesz is there, Babiš's Ano. Now there's talk about Smerestev joining as well. So really two questions. How do you view the EU accepting that, maybe we can ask? And how are they going to look at Russia policy, and will veto power be even more of a hurdle? And second question, do you think that Czech-Slovak relations will hold in the midst of this, where, as you're saying, there's different populations in Czechia and Slovakia, and Czechs tend to favor support for Ukraine rather than Slovaks?
I mean, like, if you look at the EU level of governance, clearly Patriots are for Europe, but this is only European Parliament, right? You know, this doesn't have to have any being the member of that party group doesn't necessarily have to have any consequences for the council votes, you know, or the European Council decisions. But overall, Patriots for Europe clearly, even though they are the third largest, and Anna helped them, you know, may happen, you know, may basically originate, and it's most likely that Smer, the Social Democratic Party, and the Fidesz will join them. The group actually carries a poor reputation with many mainstream parties, you know, swaying away of it, you know, and you know, basically de facto building a cordon sanitaire and excluding it from the committee post and everything. So basically being a member of that party group in the European Parliament means that it doesn't bring you any clear benefits vis-a-vis the partners in the many partners in the European Union, and along this line, it doesn't really bring you so much influence within the European Parliament. But really, in practice, when it comes to foreign policy, this is not so huge issue because European Parliament is largely sidelined on EU foreign policy. Hmm. So this is where mostly be judged by, and you hinted to that, about by the behavior in the council and council votes, obviously, and implementation of council votes. And your question was that can we expect more vetoes or perhaps aligning of Czech foreign policy decisions towards Hungarian and Slovak, which have applied vetoes on foreign policy sanctions and Russia-Ukraine-related issues. I don't think it's going to be the case. At least not that often. But as I said before, I guess we can be reproaching the approach of Slovakia and Hungary on a case-by-case basis. But what's probably very important here is that Robert Fico and Viktor Orban are playing kind of a cultural war against the EU, which feeds their popularity and their relations. Viktor Orban is doing this for quite some time, so he has a very huge audience for that. Robert Fico is doing this as well. While if you look at Andrei Babiš, he's not pro-European openly, even though I think personally he wants to remain in the EU as much as possible, also because of his businesses. But he's much more pragmatic and has been so far, and I don't think this is going to change. So if, you know, using vetoes would hurt his, you know, pragmatic, you know, the pursuance of his pragmatic interest in the EU, he's not going to do that. And he's not going to use it just to signal to the electorate the cultural wars that he's waging against the EU. So I would imagine that there may be, you know, Czechia will definitely not be an initiator, like the ammunition initiative, you know, of new measures, you know, to support Ukraine, you know, or anti-Russian measures and so on and so forth. But we will not most likely be in the camp of, you know, blocking, you know, sanctions, blocking the implementation of new measures that would be directed or targeted against Russia. This is what I would expect at the EU level. Now, will this hold Babiš and Fico? I think they are going to be, you know, aligning tactically on some EU files, sovereignty related, you know, Green Deal, migration compact, and these related issues. But divergence on Ukraine, as I said before, on Ukraine policy base and on how hard to push Brussels, you know, will kind of, you know, be still in place. So it will remain in existence. So I would expect a kind of a friendlier style than the Fiala-Fico period. Some case by case, you know, ad hoc dossier by dossier alignment, but no seamless coalition of V3 or something like that, because, you know, the structural differences will remain, and the Patriots' affiliation will not somehow, you know, change the behavior of the leaders in the council or the ministers in the council.
Perhaps lastly, so before it was just kind of this, you know, progressives and moderates were happy with Czech-Slovak relations because we had this Pavel Čaputová intersection where people were, let's say, a little more positive about the two countries, their presidencies. And now we have this Babiš and Fico, and so now center-right and some moderates are happy about that for Czech-Slovak relations. But as of the fact that Czechs and Slovaks, you know, have been a little more critical of each other, let's say now, you know, the, as they say, the brotherly nations, there was finally a ripple, one that maybe hasn't existed since the Velvet Divorce. What do you think about that generally? Do you think that There is, this possibility that Czechs and Slovaks will think less of each other in the future?
If I look at it from a more general perspective, societal perspective, I don't really see that we would be like somehow massively diverging from each other. As I said, it's rather kind of a sinusoid, some up and ups and downs. Sometimes the downs and ups, where the divergence is larger, are more spread now than they used to be in the past. But on the other hand, this is sometimes followed by a huge convergence. You mentioned Čaputová before, but also some other previous presidents and prime ministers of government being closer to each other than the following ones. So in a nutshell, I do believe there is a general societal awareness that we're actually close to it, or awareness, But I do think that at the level of the society, this is actually, a shared kind of feeling that we're close to each other. So I don't think we can expect any huge divergence or floating away of the two countries away from each other, exactly because, they're clearly the most compatible partners in terms of language, and some other issues, and neighbors, physically also.
And the Czechoslovak Republic, obviously, as well.
Yes, exactly. So I think that this is, just temporal ups and downs. The question is, do they really become more spread over time? Maybe in a long-term perspective, but I cannot really foresee, decades ahead. And in the short term or medium term, I don't really think this is the issue.